You can open up your Bibles to the book of Acts. We are continuing to move now, get some traction in the book of Acts. Someone asked me this morning, "You still in Acts?" Oh, yes. Chapter 2. So, prepare to hang out for a while. Hanging out is one of our core values. Going to hang out with Acts for a while. All right, we are in chapter 2. We're going to kind of do a part 2 of last week. We had some fun, I believe, some fun with the Holy Spirit as we had a message prepared. And as I was praying that morning, kind of felt like God said, "Hey, we're going to take a little left turn and sit about halfway through and pause there." And so we're going to finish that off today. But what we've seen so far, just to review a little bit in the book of Acts, it's so important to remember that the author, Luke, gives us a framework to understand everything that happens in the book of Acts. And it happens in chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus promises, says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you in power to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And that everything we see in the book of Acts, starting with Pentecost and the falling of the Holy Spirit, and then everything that happens, we got to remember that that is a fulfillment of Jesus' promise, his prophetic promise of what's going to happen. So everything we see, we've got to remember, see it through the lens that this is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in power upon the people of God so that they can be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. Because that's really what the book of Acts is about. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, but we said it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And last week we looked at that even more clearly. When the day of Pentecost came, it said the Holy Spirit fell. It said like a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. But what's absolutely astounding that we looked at last week is the point of this part of Acts is to show that the same Holy Spirit that empowered the supernatural life of Jesus is now going to empower his followers. And that is absolutely astounding. And we saw that in the language that was used in verses 3 and 4. It said, "Divided tongues of fire appeared to them," key words, "and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Rested on and filled with. And we showed the parallel, absolutely astounding parallel, that is the exact same language to describe the Holy Spirit's interaction with Jesus himself. At his baptism, it says, and we combine Mark and Matthew and Luke, and all of those things say the same thing. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, rested upon him, and filled him up. And as a result, he went out in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit and brought heaven to earth everywhere he went. And what's astounding, it's incredibly intentional by the author of Luke to say that same Holy Spirit is going to come upon you in the same exact way so that you can carry on the mission of Jesus to the ends of the earth, to bring heaven to earth as Jesus did. Now, it's not because Jesus' work in his life and his death on the cross and his resurrection was not sufficient. That's not the work that's not done. That is done. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." It was completely finished in order to take away the penalty of sin. But what we see at the end of the book of Matthew when it says, "Take this gospel to all the nations." At the end of the book of Mark where it says, "Go preach this to all creation." In the beginning of Acts where it says, "The power of the Spirit's going to come upon you to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." In that sense, Jesus is teaching very clearly that the mission is not yet done. What he started of bringing heaven to earth by his power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he passes the baton to his followers. Incredible privilege to say, go, continue that mission of spreading the goodness of the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth, to all nations. Or as Revelation says, so that every tongue, tribe, and nation is represented in heaven. So that's pretty heavy. We saw that last week. That's pretty incredible. The honor that God bestows upon his beloved children to say that same Holy Spirit he wants to fill us with and rest upon us so that we can have that supernatural power to go and bring God's kingdom. And we pick it up this week, and we see a little bit of what that looks like. So join me here in chapter 2. Verses start with just verse 4. And we see what happens when that Holy Spirit comes and that ministry, that supernatural ministry begins. It says in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit had come to rest upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And now at the time there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it then that we hear each of us in his own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Menaphe and Pamphylia and Egypt, parts of Libya." That's just a long list right there. "Cyrene and Hemet and visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and even Canyonlakans were there to, and we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty work of God." That's the key. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty work of God. So they don't know our language, but they're speaking our language. "And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocked and said, 'They're filled with new wine.' Peter stood up with the 11 and lifted his voice and addressed them and says, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day." It's only 9 a.m. All right, so we're going to pause there. In this situation, what I want us to see is that the bringing of heaven to earth, this is the fulfillment of what Jesus had said, and it's just getting very practical, as God always will. So God's promised the Holy Spirit to fall. He does. He falls. He rests upon them. He fills them up to do the supernatural work of ministry that brings more of his kingdom. But what I want us to see is in this situation, the supernatural power of God in the Holy Spirit manifests in a way that the disciples are able to speak in languages, human languages, that they had no natural ability to speak. Okay? So it's a miracle. It's like if you don't speak Spanish, you just spoke Spanish. You don't speak French, you just spoke French. That's what's happening. People from, there's a festival, the Pentecost festival, so there's a lot of folks in Jerusalem right now that speak a lot of different languages. So there's a miracle happens. The Holy Spirit falls and empowers them, gives them utterance, as it says, to speak native languages that they don't know. Now there's an interesting emphasis. A lot of folks get to find the emphasis of this passage to be on a gift of tongues. And then if the Holy Spirit comes, then you will have this gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues is an absolutely wonderful, beautiful Holy Spirit gift. But that's not the emphasis of this passage. The emphasis right here is that when the Holy Spirit comes to fill us up, check this out, it is in order to meet the needs of the moment that will best bring the kingdom of God to the context. See, what we see here in this moment, in this case, the wisdom of God discerned that all sorts of various peoples and nations were gathered together. So the wisdom of God discerned that he would pour out his power by giving that supernatural ability to communicate with all those people in their native tongue. A demonstration that would put people in the position of either calling those people crazy and drunk or giving glory to God because something so beautiful and supernatural was happening. And it says 3,000 people that day were added to the number of those who trusted in Jesus. And I believe that's a snapshot. We're going to get into the rest of the book of Acts where we see lots of fun gifts of the Holy Spirit emerging. But I believe that's crucial for us to see, is ultimately that's what spiritual gifts are. Right here, we see it. It's the supernatural power of God that comes upon us, rests upon us, fills us up to represent Jesus. As Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. To represent Jesus and his ministry and bring the kingdom of God in the need of the moment. That in a power that's far beyond what you can do. And if you think about a lot of the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's a gift of healing, a gift of a prophetic word of knowledge where you know something about somebody that you shouldn't and speak that encouraging word into their life, or wisdom where you have this absolute divine wisdom for a situation that you really shouldn't based on your situation, or it's a miracle, or you have a mercy for someone or a generosity for someone. And down along the line, these spiritual gifts, they meet the needs of the moment to show the heart of Jesus, to show the goodness of heaven as needed in a moment beyond what you could do in your own strength. Far beyond. And that's the wild ride that the Holy Spirit invites us into, the wild ride that God invites us into as his followers. Be ready for God to come upon you, fill you up, rest upon you in a way that something supernatural can happen that meets the needs of the moment, that shows the heart of Jesus, the heartbeat of heaven in the moment. That's what happens right here. And I think it's so crucial for us to get our mindsets ready that when we open ourselves up to say, Holy Spirit, as many of you did last week as we had a nice quick prayer time of the Holy Spirit, just praying for the Holy Spirit to fall upon and fill you up and rest upon you. And we had 100 people come forward, get anointed with oil to say, I want more of the Holy Spirit to rest upon me and fill me up. Beautiful. That was an absolutely beautiful moment. What we should expect as we continue to pray for that God, I want the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to fill me up, to do the ministry of Jesus that I can't do on my own. When we pray for that, expect the unexpected. I think that's so key for us here. Expect the unexpected. Expect to be surprised, to be challenged, to be stretched. How many of you would bet that the disciples were sitting around, and when the Holy Spirit fell, as it said, in tongues of fire and a mighty rushing wind, how many of you think that those disciples said, yeah, that's what I expected? Come on. How many of you, seriously, the Holy Spirit comes and there's tongues of fire and rushing wind and the place is shaking and someone's sitting there like, oh, yes, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's what I was expecting. Come, I've prepared a place for you. Just come rest on me. I'm ready. Just what I was thinking. Yeah, right. There's a reason why why the Bible says over and over that when God comes, people are terrified. Why there's awe, and we're going to see that word used to describe the people in the book of Acts, people of God, awe. If you think if you're expecting it in a way where you think it's going to fit into your pretty little box, you're not in the right place. Because this is the supernatural power of God we're talking about. We should be in awe. It should never get old. We shouldn't think that we know exactly what it's going to look like and feel like. And it's just so normal and so in our control that, yes, we're just going to be like, oh, yes, that's what I was expecting. You come, Holy Spirit. Sit on me, my little friend. There's something awe-inspiring that should cause us to just bow before God in a reverence, in an expectation, in a wonder, in an openness, in a humility. that if we ever think that we've got God all figured out and we're sure what it's going to look like and how he's going to work and how he can work, then we have just put a real limit on God. And these guys in the book of Acts have a great example as they're so open. You never once see them say, God, you can't work like that. God, that's not within my preconceived box to say, Holy Spirit, you can't come and sound like a rushing wind. You can't come like a divided tongues of fire. That's beyond what I'm comfortable with. As we've said before, I think it's right now we're going to see it in the book of Acts, so key. If we put a limit on God, then our experience of God is going to be limited. And these disciples here, these followers of God, they're going to turn the world upside down, demonstrate for us something so beautiful, is that they're just so hungry. They're so open. They're so excited for whatever God's going to do. It's going to surprise them. It's going to challenge them. It's going to stretch them. But they learn to expect the unexpected. It's such a key part, I believe, of having the holy, of being a place on which the Holy Spirit wants to rest. I'll share a quick little story. When we were up in Reading last year, I was sharing this with some of the DG leaders this week, some of our discipleship group leaders. We went to a conference on healing and the impartation of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the leader up there, Bill Johnson of the church. It was amazing to me the awe and wonder like a little child that he had. He's seen God move in just ridiculously powerful ways for years and years and years. Yet there was a point in one of the services where there was some healing happening, but I would call it a minor healing, if you will. Now, it's all miraculous, but it was a minor healing in that they've seen some things where like metal rods have disappeared from people's backs that have had things fused together after car accidents, and they've seen this on a regular basis. So that's kind of stuff that's like, wow, that's really crazy. That's exciting. That kind of blows my mind. But when there was some, like, it was like foot pain or lower back pain, minor stuff, if you will, was getting healed. I remember seeing Pastor Bill as a few people stood up to say, wow, this pain in my foot is gone. I saw him stand up. We were sitting a few rows back, and he's in the front. I saw him stand up and turning around, and I had this like wide-eyed excitement like a little five-year-old on Christmas morning. And it hit me, though, because it's like he's probably seen that thousands of times. Yet, for a little toe feeling better, he's got wide-eyed excitement. And that, to me, spoke so loudly as the leader of a movement who's seen cancer healed hundreds of times, who's seen metal rods disappear out of people's bodies hundreds of times now. That's scientifically verifiable. And yet he's excited about toe pain. To me, spoke so loudly of this is the kind of humility of the New Testament where they don't have God in a box and they don't get, no matter how many times it happens, the wonder never leaves. And we expect to be unexpected. And we expect to be stretched, challenged, surprised, overwhelmed. And that humility to stay in that place, I believe, is what invites the Holy Spirit to come and stay there and work. All right, let's move on. Because the bottom line in it is that God loves to move in ways that are beyond what we can do on our own so that God can get the glory. So when we stay humble, God can get the glory. Even if it's about toe pain that we've seen healed 1,000 times. If we stay humble, God gets the glory, knowing it's not us. All right, moving on here. Peter then goes on to explain to the people what is happening. Why is this crazy thing of this group of ragtag disciples now has the ability, the supernatural ability, to speak the languages of people all across the earth. What's happening? Very crucial interpretation here of what's going on, and Peter gives it. And says in chapter 2, verses 16, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, that in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Excuse me. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male servants and on my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and the vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there's so much in that passage, but I want to highlight a couple of quick things. First of all, this is an absolutely bold claim by Peter that we got to take note of, that what is happening here in this moment in the book of Acts is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy about the last days. But I want us to see real quick, there is a difference between the last days and the great and magnificent day. Peter reads about a prophecy of both. And Peter is referring to this messianic hope of the last days and the great and magnificent day in which the Messiah would come and make all things right and all the stuff that we long for as humanity, for God to fix and make right in this broken world. There's a prophecy. It's coming. The kingdom will come and God will make all things right. However, what we see Peter do in that moment in the Jewish mindset, it was expected that coming of the Messiah and the fulfillment of the kingdom and the making all things right, that was going to happen in one moment. That was going to happen in one time. Messiah was going to come, set all things right. But what Peter does and the rest of the New Testament and Jesus himself does in his teaching is show that the great and magnificent day when all things are made right and the last days are not one in the same moment. What Peter shows here is that the last days begin with Jesus. It begins with the Messiah when Jesus commenced a season of God breaking into earth through the power of the Holy Spirit on him to bring his kingdom, to bring a foretaste of his kingdom, as Jesus did everywhere he went, to bring tastes of heaven, little bits and pieces, where the current situation and status quo of life on earth gets turned upside down with the goodness of heaven in little bits and pieces and tastes of it. And we saw Jesus begin that. And then what we see is that Jesus said his mission, that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on his followers to continue that mission, that same mission of bringing tastes and foretastes of the kingdom of heaven right now, to turn life upside down for the good. But what's different is that Peter does say, and Jesus talks about it as well, is that that great and magnificent day is not yet upon us. When God makes all things right, that is at the second coming of Jesus. When in a flash, in a blink of an eye, in the sovereign timing of God, Jesus will return, and that time in power and glory, and bring the fullness of the kingdom that makes all things right. But what's key to see is until that time, until that great and magnificent day, that we are now in a season of the last days. It's the season of the last days, preparing the world, preparing his bride for that great and magnificent day when he comes. But what's crucial to see is in that season of the last days, a promise has been made and is now fulfilled, as it says, that the Holy Spirit will pour out in the last days upon all flesh. That is a very important verse. I will pour out my spirit on who? Everybody here, I'll pour out my spirit on who? All flesh. All, here we go. All means all. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that rested upon and filled up Jesus to do supernatural ministry. God wants to pour out that same Spirit on you. Do you believe that? That is some crazy good news. That is a new way of God interacting with humanity. In the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, it was the kings, it was the priests upon whom the Spirit of God rested to do ministry. And God shifts it with the new covenant of Jesus and says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, on all humanity, on men, women, and children, it says. Your young men, your children will prophesy, will dream dreams. The old men will dream dreams. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, men, women, children, servants, it says, even servants, slaves. The people who didn't even have dignity, who didn't even have worth, whether you're a woman, whether you're a child, whether you're a slave, in the kingdom of God, God's heart is you are all exalted to dignity as beloved sons and daughters of God. You are all worthy of having the Holy Spirit fall upon you, rest upon you, and fill you up for the same ministry that Jesus had. In the new covenant, in the coming of the heart of God to earth as it is in heaven, says your age doesn't matter, your gender doesn't matter, your class doesn't matter, your education doesn't matter. The Spirit of the living God finds you worthy to pour out upon and do the ministry of bringing the very kingdom of God to earth. How do you like that? That is that is amazing. And that's where we just want to sit with this humble hunger to say, God, I may not feel worthy, but I want to trust in the sufficiency of what Christ did on the cross that makes me worthy. So when society may tell me that I'm not worthy, I'm not the right gender, I'm not the right class, I'm not the right age, I don't have the right money or status or whatever, and God says those are all broken, those are all lies of the enemy, you are worthy as my beloved sons and daughters to host the Holy Spirit's presence to bring supernatural work of God. And I want to give us just a few examples here of some silly, fun things that, as I told you, I wrote this message last week. It was for last week. As I said, okay, Lord, give me a couple examples. It was just like, I wrote it on Thursday. And literally in Wednesday and Thursday, there was just like four or five things that just made me giggle of how God loves to pour out his Spirit in ways that cause us, enable us to do supernatural things that we couldn't do. Upon men, women, children, doesn't matter, again, age, gender, status, wealth. So I'm going to share a couple stories. We were at a youth group on Wednesday night. There was this time at the end of the night where we just said, hey, anybody who wants to have prayer, come. And it's just this beautiful thing to see these little kids, these little hearts, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old, come to get prayed for and pray for each other. And so there's one of our little guys who came, speaking of toes, he came and he said, my toe hurts. And, you know, you're 12 years old, that matters. That means no kickball. You know, that means no soccer. That means no running. And does God care about those things? Well, let's find out. So we said, all right, well, let's just come and pray. And so he was a seventh grade boy, and he has this group of about five or six of his friends, and they just, boom, the way, it's just beautiful to see their little hearts. And three of them got down on their knees, literally, like this, and if this was his toe, and they just went like this. They grabbed his little foot, and they just prayed. And these are some squirrely little dudes. I mean, just straight up, they test my patience. They are some squirrely little guys. But this moment came, and my toe hurts. And boom. And literally, they were there, silent, in prayer. I don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know if they're asleep. But they are on this guy's toes for like 5 minutes straight. And we're just praying. And then we say, hey, how's your toe feel? He's like, I think it's a little better. okay, a little better. Well, that's cool, but maybe that's God's working, but can you run yet? No, I don't even want to try. Okay, let's pray. And boom, they're back down there, these three little guys, for a couple more minutes, and we say, all right, let's check in. How are you doing? He's like, oh, I think my toe's better. Are you willing to try it out, test it out a little bit? Yeah, yeah. Well, what couldn't you do before? I definitely couldn't run. All right, so try running up the hill. You know, we're on the beach. It's a big kind of slope grass hill. And so this little guy just takes off, fast little dude, runs up the beach, up the grass, come back. He's just got this big smile on his face. He's like, my toe's all better. I can run. And it was just like this little thing, but it's like, praise the Lord through these kids. Now, we're kind of standing back and we're praying, but who's God working through? I think it's the little squirrely dude on the floor who would humble himself before his friends and get on his face and just pray. And then one of those other guys there, another goofy guy, just this funniest little, you know, he's like, are you paying attention ever? And then like, but as we're praying, afterwards, he goes, and he's never said this before, he goes, I think I just saw a vision. We're like, really? He's like, yeah, it was really clear. He's like, it was heaven, and God was up there, and he was surrounded by clouds, but he was at a podium, and he was speaking forth words, and they were gold. And he's like, I don't know what that means. I'm like, I don't either. But you know what? But let's pray for that. You know, I said, anybody there? Anybody have an idea what that meant? And everybody's like, no, I really don't. But okay, well, that's cool. But let's just pray for that. God, whatever you're doing there, then we just pray that. And who knows? I haven't checked back with him. I wasn't at youth group last week. But maybe he has an understanding. Maybe he doesn't. But just his little heart where he's just like, oh, I saw this while we were praying. And it was cool. It was very cool. And then on that same night, different place, my wife and my son were praying for somebody, and my wife tells me that I got a 9.5-year-old son, almost 10. She looked up and opened her eyes, and KJ, my son, is this guy who's getting prayed for is kind of has his head down, and my son's doing this over his head, and my wife Dawn's like, what are you doing, buddy? And he's like, I'm cutting off the strings of the enemy. And she's, well, what do you mean? She's like, well, as I was praying for him, I saw over his head strings, and it was like a puppet thing, and the enemy kind of has him right now like a puppet where kind of pulls him wherever he wants. And I guarantee you, he knows not nearly enough about this person's situation to come up with something like that, but that is like right on. And this person is struggling in a way. He's getting jacked around by the enemy like a little rag doll. And a 9-year-old just is praying and like, oh, I'm going to snip those off real quick. just snip them. And then I'll say that the next morning, I get a text at like 8 a.m. and 8:27 a.m., I think, from one of you guys in here. And it's a text and says, one of our kids in youth group is really struggling right now. He's having a really, really hard day. He's really struggling. Can you get in touch with him? And I honestly, my first thought is, ugh, isn't there someone else? I've got to write my message today. I don't have time for this. And so I go and I drop my boys off at school, and I'm picking up a breakfast burrito at Gilberto's so I can just, you know, boom, get powered up. And that's a Holy Spirit breakfast burrito. And just go hide in my cave for the day and write the message. And who do I run into in the parking lot while getting my burrito? That very kid who has just been texted to me 20 minutes earlier, this kid's really, really hurting. He needs some encouragement today. And I run into him in the parking lot. And my honest response is, oh, shoot, I hope he doesn't see me. But you know, I'm just being real. But that was about a half a second, and then I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you're doing something. So I walk up to him and just, you know, I don't say, hey, everyone's texting me saying you're having a horrible day. But I just, hey, how you doing, bro? And just, you know, show some love and spend some time with him and then just go about my way and go back to get my burrito. But I had to go over to CVS and I went to get my burrito. And as I was on the way back to the burrito, I felt like the Holy Spirit say, you're not done. You need to pray for him, and you need to tell him what happened. And tell him that someone knows he's having a rough day, and that I sent you to encourage him. And so I go get the burrito, and I come back, and the car is gone. And I'm like, oh, shoot. But, so I walk over, walking from Gilberto's to CVS, car comes back. True enough, he was just doing donuts around the parking lot. But he comes back, and he walks out. It was awesome, because I got to say, hey, you know what? I just want to let you know that I think God just wants to tell you that he sees what you're going through, and that he sees that you're having a rough day, and he wants you to know that he loves you. Because I said, you know, honestly, 20 minutes before I saw you, I got a text message saying you were having a really rough day from one of our youth leaders that knows and just cares. And I believe that God wanted us to get together right now just so you would know that he sees what's going on. And it's just, you know, right there, we just prayed for him, he had tears in his eyes, and he's just feeling that love. But as I stepped back, I'm just like, oh gosh, this kind of stuff is nutty. This kind of stuff is crazy. I've never seen that kid in a parking lot before in my life. Is it a coincidence that 20 minutes after I get a text that he needs help, I'm seeing him? No, it's not. This is the kind of stuff. It's the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that wants to work. And there's a couple other quick things that just came to mind. We've had so many of these fun things. There's Paul mentioned his healing last week of where he had 76% blockage in his neck, and it was pristine. Now, the doctor, no surgery needed. Well, five months ago, when it started with heart problems, wherever he's at, right? It started with heart problems. And there was another young kid in our congregation when was told about his heart problems, was praying, and heard the word neck, and told us that we need to pray for Paul's neck. Now, that doesn't make sense. This kid's not a doctor. He doesn't know the connections. And to say, we've got heart problems, but no, mom and dad, we need to pray for neck. And so now we find out 4 or 5 months later that the heart problems were due to blockage in the neck. That now, for 5 months, people have been praying, and from 76% blockage to pristine and no need for surgery, God does miracles. And it was through a little kid who heard the word neck. Now, this is the kind of stuff that, can you make that up? Can you just, you know, play roulette and name body parts? I mean, it's where you just got to give God the glory. You got to give God the credit to where he wants to do supernatural things. Yeah. So I think you got the point. Let me tell you one other. An old man having a dream, and then we're done. You guys may know Mark Rogers. He's serving in the kids' crew today. He was in a wheelchair with muscular dystrophy for 20 years, and he showed up at our church one day, and through a couple hours of prayer, walked out of the church. Now, I'm not going to lie and say it's been an easy road. There's pain that comes and goes in his legs, but he walked into church today with no wheelchair, and he's been moving on up. I will say, though, that happened. One of our people came to me the morning that happened, tripped out, because Mark Rogers was not part of our church family and did not come to Elevation, and said, whoa, Mark Rogers is here today. Have you seen this? Yeah, I see Mark. That's cool. It's cool. You know, it's like, great. No. I had a dream about Mark this week that he was going to get healed when we prayed for him. Even so much that I told my wife about it. And he's here right now. What should I do? Well, let's start by just, why don't you go share with him? Say, hey, your brother, I know this sounds weird, but I've been dreaming about you this week. Would it be okay if I prayed for you? And it started like that. Mark said, great, sure. You know, ended up praying for him for a long time, and he has his Forrest Gump moment of, you know, power running around. It starts with the limp and the walk and runs out of the church building. Like I said, it's not perfect, and he's struggled, you know, in between now and then, but God's moving and working. In that moment, his wife of 15 years, he danced with her and had never danced in his life with her and hadn't run like that in over 20 years. But that was an old man had a dream. Bless him, I love him. He'll name it. Point being, God loves to do stuff when we are open and humble to say, God, I want to expect the unexpected. I'm going to allow you to blow the doors off of my box. I'm going to allow you to stretch me, to grow me, to make me uncomfortable, to take me into new places, because I believe your Holy Spirit, you've promised, will pour out on all flesh, young men, old men, women, children, doesn't matter, slaves, whatever, it doesn't matter. And so we just thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to participate in the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we certainly do not have it all together. We do not know everything about it. We don't know all of what it looks like. We don't have it under our control. We are not experts in the Holy Spirit, but neither were your disciples, Lord. And I find great refuge there. I find great comfort there. Lord, I pray that you would make us, Lord, help open our hearts to be like that early church that was just hungry for your Holy Spirit to pour out on them and do whatever it is that you had planned, whether it was the supernatural gift of speaking tongues in languages that they did not know, or whether it was a prophecy or a healing or a miracle or mercy, whatever it was, Lord, that would reflect your heart, Jesus, beautifully in the moment as it's needed. I pray that you would make that our heart, Lord. Continue to make that more and more. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, would you make us into the people that you love to rest upon, that you love to make your home with, that you love to fill up and pour through. I thank you, Lord, that as your word says, you've chosen, Lord, not the wise, not those who know they have it all together or think they have it all together, but the children, the servants, the ones that know that they need you, that they don't have it all together. They can remain with that childlike excitement about seeing you move in their midst. And I thank you, Lord, that you are doing that in our midst, Lord. And we can just share stories of just the last couple days to give you glory, Lord. And we just pray that you continue to do that more and more, Lord. Lord, as we seek your face, as we seek to know you, as our good and wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, prepare our hearts to pour out on us that you may use us, God, to bring your kingdom, to show your love, to show the goodness, the heart of heaven to everyone who needs it, whether it's in the body or out in this hurting and broken world, Lord. We invite you, Holy Spirit, teach us your ways. Come upon us, Lord, for your glory in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/weareelevation.